Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Jordan Ta'amu will be on the show. By the way, Ta'amu in that game threw for 388 and four touchdowns.
Now, is that good?
I want to know how many people in town cared or watched or maybe tuned in. If you checked out the game, I want to hear from you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. And I'd be curious to know if you were watching but don't normally watch, or if you're a, you know, one of the few of the proud regulars that tune into those games for the United Football League, and the championship meant something to you. This will actually be our poll of the day. You can go to our 106.7 The Fan Twitter account to vote right now. Presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, or commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience.
So I had a full Saturday, a million different things. My son had this little soccer tournament deal, which is really cool for this group of 7 and 8 year olds. It was a lot of fun. And then I had a stand-up show Saturday night. So I wasn't sure when it was on. I wasn't sure like kind of what it was. And by the time I got home, I was seeing some of the tweets about, hey, check this out. They just put up damn near 60 points and won the thing. And how cool is this? And it's a championship for DC. So, you know, it obviously, you know, I'm kind of the wrong person to ask. It didn't move me one way or the other. It feels kind of like when the Mystics did it, where it's like it'd be disingenuous to take credit for it or to feel excited about it when I didn't watch and wasn't really that invested. But again, on a binary, I'd rather DC win a title than not.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, I obviously enjoyed going to the games and have the season tickets and go to the home games. And so had the opportunity to call those games when we did that on the radio a few years ago, kind of got into it, and it is a lot of fun. So I watched. I want to say one thing about the telecast. It was a really big league legitimate broadcast done by ESPN ABC, and I want to commend them for that. I mean, they treated it like it was the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. in a sense. And they did some things on the telecast that were better than a Super Bowl broadcast, just because you're allowed to have access that the NFL doesn't have. But they had Joe Tessitore with his big pipes, very loud. You know, he does WWE stuff, and he's over the top a little bit, but he's very, very professional and very good. He was good on the call. They had their number one college analyst, Greg McElroy, who's been doing those games throughout the year, mm-hmm. who was really sharp as well. But what I loved about the broadcast, and like, I know you don't watch it, you don't care, you'll never watch it, but I think you would enjoy this, and I think anybody who likes football would. So they brought the backup quarterbacks on the sideline over to the mic where they had their sideline reporters. So like it was like Sam Acho as an uh-huh. example. And they have the QB2 standing there on headset with his helmet, you know, half on or whatever. And he's listening to the play call into the quarterback's helmet on the field. We're also hearing that audio because mm-hmm. we can pick that up in the UFL whenever we want to, and we get that on the broadcast all the time. And so you're hearing the coordinator who's on walkie-talkie saying, you know, Jaguar 729, Wizard 25, Ovi, into the headset.
Right.
And the backup quarterback is listening. We're hearing all the terminology and the words. And then the sideline reporter said to him, all right, tell us what that meant. And both of them were great at this. But, you know, and I mean both sidelines, both backups when their team was on the field. And they did this a lot in the game. But they said, okay, so it means we're going to have a stack to the left. We're going to motion the running back to the backfield. We're going to figure out man versus zone.
That's so cool.
And they're literally taking you through the play. And they're like, what he's going to do here, I'd be surprised. He's going to work the backside. You see these two guys on the left. He's looking for that slant. If it's not there, he's going to go to the corner route on the sideline on this concept. And they're saying all that right before the snap. And the exact same thing plays out. And
that's
you just
so neat.
Got walked through the play. It was great television.
Were there by the way, that's awesome. Were there moments where a quarterback then had to audible? Because I think that would be the most incredible thing. Where it's, in other words, like,
yeah.
if he gets this look, he'll look here. But, oh, look at this. They're showing blitz, so he's going to go here somewhere. I mean, I know I'm yeah. asking for the moon here. But
I don't know if that happened. What was cool, though, was a couple of times
awesome.
When they walked you through the play and then it scored a touchdown.
Mm.
Where they're like, a couple of times for the defenders, thinking about it, it was an RPO, right? So they're like, this is a run-pass option. We're going to count in the box. If it's light, we're going to hand it off. If it's not, we're throwing the bubble. You know, and if the bubble's not there, he's going to look the bubble off, and then he's going to go down the field. And so sure enough, you see him go like mesh point, read option, keeps the ball. He's like, too many there, keep the ball. And he's like talking like the color guy over the play, the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, now he's looking bubble, and like Rowland's doing a little route in the backfield, and he, you know, pumps him. Now he's going up top, and he throws for a touchdown down the field. But it's the
That's
guy
awesome.
Who, if Tamu goes down, is in the game the next play.
That's awesome.
Just telling you what all he's looking for. I just haven't seen anything like that in a broadcast. And I know I'm a broadcast nerd, but I don't know how someone could watch that and not find it compelling or interesting. If it were a high school game, I still think it'd be pretty neat because I'm learning from an X's and O's and overall standpoint. But it's not. I mean, this is high-level, legitimate. Like, these guys are going to be at training camps and on practice squads. And it's not the NFL, but it's the closest thing we got. Now, outside of a couple of ranked teams in, like, the SEC head-to-head or the Big Ten head-to-head, this is better than college football in terms of the quality of the opponent that you're dealing with and the quality of the player on the field. But I just thought stuff like that on the broadcast made it really, really good.
That's neat.
I hope people watched it. I don't know that they did. We'll see what the TV numbers are. Darius, if you get those when they come out, let us know. You want to be, it'd be impressive if you get over a million, closer to 1.5, the better. They've staggered around, you know, the low, if you're in the 500,000 to 700,000 range, that's really bad. But I think on network TV, even though you're head-to-head with the Stanley Cup on a Saturday night with a bunch of stuff going on, ideally they got a decent number for their championship game.
And I wonder what it was like locally here, D.C.-wise, because the fan base in D.C., those that went and those that were into it, were into it. I mean, it's caught on.
It's a small group of people.
Yeah, but
I
wonder.
It used to be that you could get 14, 15. I feel like this year it was closer to like 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not the same number as beginning. I think some of it was scheduled, too. They almost always played during or on the same day as a Nats home game.
Because
they're like third in command in terms of getting the field at Audi, which is a problem. I'm not saying they shouldn't be, but DC United and then the Spirit, and like there's a few other things. So just as an example, they make the UFL Conference Championship game, which is supposed to be held at their place because they're really good, and Audi didn't keep a date available to them the way it was described to me by the UFL. So because of that, because they had soccer, even though the league went to them and said, hey, our championship game would be this weekend, keep the date just in case, Audi's like, no, we're good.
And we're going to book something that we know.
Yeah, we have soccer, and we're going to do that. So they had to go play on the road instead of getting a home game for the conference title game.
Yeah, so what I wonder is, for those that were in, obviously people are in, they watched it. I'm wondering, hey, a DC team is in the championship. Like, again, this is not analogous. You'll bristle at this, but I'm saying, like, if the DC team tennis team was in a championship, would a casual fan tune in? If the DC pickleball team is in a championship, the DC whatever. If you're not normally a fan, did you go, hey, they're in the finals and it's on network TV, I'm going to tune into that. I wonder what the D.C. specific area ratings were for.
Yeah, that's a fair question. I mean, my answer to that is no one would ever do that for any sports except maybe football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not those other things. Tennis,
right,
is,
it's not those
where
things.
Does it rank? Ninth? I don't know.
I mean,
but my point is football is football, and it's, you know, it's not some startup. You know, even like I call those Valor games, Arena Football League, which I had a blast with.
Mm-hmm.
Even that compared to the UFL backed by Dwayne Johnson on Fox, ESPN, ABC.
Right.
Very, very different than the Arena Football League at the end of its run here in D.C. Let's go to John, who's in Stephen City, home of the Sherrando Warriors. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, so, spring football, me and my kids have kind of taken a liking to it. We went to a game this year. Unfortunately, they lost it, but it is exciting. It's not the same caliber NFL, but this game this past weekend was awesome. They just put the wrecking on Michigan team. Got a little scary towards the end because the UFL's got a weird 4th and 12 on the 28 instead of an onside kick.
Yeah, do you like the 4th and 12 quarter instead of the onside kick?
Yeah, I don't know if they even do an onside kick. I think that's their form of it.
Well, it is. I'm saying, do you like that better?
Well, being a Defenders fan, no, I don't like it.
Yeah, they gave up a couple.
It was probably exciting.
I think it's so much better than an onside kick just generally. Number one, the game is kind of never over, but it's a football play. You talk about this a lot, even to the extreme, whereas you'd get rid of kickers altogether and field goals and extra points or whatever. I wouldn't. But I do understand the merits and the point you make, which is the more football plays and the less specialists trotting on to do the one thing the one time, probably the better for the product. And so I think the 4th and 12, yes, DC was on the wrong end of a couple of those. Happened to be that they were up by a million, so it didn't really matter. But those are super exciting. It's a throw down field.
Yeah. Do you like excitement?
Do you like passes down the field? Do you like do or die plays for the offense? I mean, then you're going to like this play.
Yeah. To me, that's one of those that the NFL, they go glacially when it comes to these sorts of things. I think they will adopt something to that effect at some point. Because like when you go for 4, 5, 6, 10 years where you're getting less than 3% of onside kicks, and there's no way for people to retain excitement, where it's like, okay, I'm down two multiple scores, and you know, here comes a couple handoffs and a punt. That's not it. That's not the point. The reason they made some of these changes over the years was they would go, Roger Goodell went, no one pays attention to the extra point. They're going to get the beer. They're going to the bathroom. They're going to get their chicken wings. They're not watching this to the same degree. We have moments where it's not exciting. When you go extra point, commercial, kickoff, commercial, you're losing people for almost 10 minutes.
Totally.
We can't do that anymore.
By the way, just back to the NFL for a second as an aside on the onside kick to your point. 41 onside kicks this year. 3 were recovered by the kicking team.
And that's higher than I thought, honestly.
3 out of 41. I think it was this year. It could have been last year. There was a game where 2 got recovered in the same game, and it was mind-blowing, and everyone's like, how is that even possible? I mean, that defies every stat, every number, every math that's ever mathed. But 3 out of 41, this could be me on overtime again, where I can't believe that other people can't see it my way. When you're 3 for 41, we need to do something else. You don't start another football season with that rule in place. You need to change things, because 3 for 41 is...
Mm-hmm.
The game is over when you need 2 possessions and you need to get an onside kick. If it's a 7% chance, that's not good enough. Now, should it be a 50% chance? Probably not. What's the sweet spot?
Somewhere in the 30s.
Yeah, pretty 35, good. A third of the time. I think that's probably really, really good, actually. In that 30 to 40 range would be ideal. You don't want to penalize the team that's in the lead and say 70% of the time the other team gets the ball. I'm not asking for that. But 7% means the game's over. And 4th and 12 is the play for me. You've taken other things from the UFL that were successful and that worked. This should be the next thing. Norman's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Norman?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yo, Greg and Dave, hey, I was calling to add to the to your point about the sideline. I thought it was amazing too. It was good TV because they had the Michigan QB sideline on there talking, and he instantly the starting QB instantly threw a pick, and I thought it was just hilarious.
So wait,
his reaction.
Which part are you talking about? The interception?
Yeah, the interception. They had the Michigan QB commentating the play on the sideline.
Yeah.
And the QB won through the pick, and it was amazing to watch him and the reaction of the QB. Like, yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah. Thanks. It's just access, and they have to do that.
Yeah.
In these leagues that are more gimmicky, if you want to use that word, which is a pejorative, but when the quality of play is down from the big stuff, you have to make up for it somewhere. And I think access is the best way to do it. In this era
Vince McMahon had that, by the way, in the first go-around. He figured that part out, yeah.
But you know the era we're in. Mm-hmm. It's hard knocks. Everybody wants to be behind the scenes. And they're doing it really, really well. You're in on, like, you hear everything every coach says, basically. I mean, and coaches have to know that.
Yeah.
How we don't have more issues, I don't know. I don't mean cursing, which is whatever at this point. Pat McAfee's dropping F-bombs throughout an entire ESPN show. Like, that's okay. So I think we're changing our politicians are cursing left and right, and everyone's high-fiving each other about it. So we've just decided that when J.J. Redick's at his introductory press conference and he's casually dropping F-bombs, I'm the square and I'm the loser and he's awesome. So that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying you always have to be on because everybody's listening into these things that used to be very private. And people aren't really ready for the things you're saying. They're sitting at home very calmly and you're in the quote-unquote like heat of battle and angry and furious. You got to be careful. I mean, that's a high wire act.
Without question. Yeah, so if you want to get in someone's face and ask a question in a very heated manner, you got to maybe take a breath and remember that. I mean, I wonder if there's still, you know, some smart mechanisms where they may not want to show the coach in some of those different moments, or you know, they could shut the mic or do a few different things. But
I'm sure,
it's hard to you know, it would take some experience to kind of know when those moments are, certainly, because you want to protect people at the same time.
What do you make of just the in-game interviews now? I ask this because I actually thought about talking about this last week. But if you remember, who was it that was in the field? You know who it was Jazz Chisholm. Jazz Chisholm was on the ESPN Baseball Tonight broadcast. And he was at third base, mic'd up during a Major League Baseball game. They've been doing this for Sunday Night Baseball now for a couple of seasons. But you're literally interviewing Carl Ravitch and the boys in the booth. A guy on the field, left field, center field, shortstop, whatever. And like he's like, hold on. And he's like running over. And he like bends down, fields the grounder, throws to first. Well, Jazz Chisholm fields it, spins around, and makes a terrible throw, an error while he's mic'd up. And the audio, see if you can grab this, Darius. It's actually really funny because he makes this error and no one knows what to do. And he's like, spin throw there. It didn't really work. They're like, yeah, spin throw.
Spin throw.
But my buddy, who's one of these baseball purists, hates every change they make, thinks the pitch clock ruined the game. And if they ever take strikes balls away from the umpire, you know, people will die and, you know, whatever else.
Sure, sure.
He's like, I can't believe that they're letting these interviews need to stop. Now, it's a sequence in a game in June, and you can make a case it's a bit better for the game that Jazz Chisholm did that interview in the grand scheme of growing the game or whatever, than like made the right play. But he's on to something to an extent. Like, it used to be managers are like, don't bother me. And then we're like, okay, well, between innings, we'll have 45 seconds where we record an interview and we play it when we come back over a couple pitches like it's live. But now we're just talking to dudes while they're in the field committing errors.
We got some fans that want to ask you questions. So the first question comes from a fan. What are your thoughts on what Hunter Dobbins said earlier about retiring rather than being in pinstripes?
I think we're looking at...
Damn it.
Spin throw.
Spin throw is right. Difficult play. Difficult.
Yeah, that's all right.
Jesse.
We all get it.
It's ruled a hit.
A hit and an error.
On the throw.
Yeah. A hit.
Was that his damn it, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's live, and he commits an error. But this ties into what I'm talking about with the access. Like, if you're in the UFL, you got to do whatever you can, and product be damned a little bit, you got to bring the people in with something. This is the carrot. Major League Baseball doesn't have to do that. It's probably smart and additive. I love in the All-Star game. Remember a couple seasons ago, they had, which pitcher was it? Was mic'd up while he was pitching. It was the coolest thing ever. Might have been the dude from West Virginia who was great for the Blue Jays for like a season. Alec Manoah.
Manoah.
I don't know if I'm pulling this or not, but they had a pitcher, and he's like, "All right, I'm going slide."
Not Sean Manea, Alec Manoah.
Alec Manoah.
Oh yeah.
But he would, you know, he like went into single A for a rehab and had a 9 ERA, and we never saw him again. Mm. But like, he's like talking to them with his glove, and he's like, "All right, we're going slider, front foot here," and he would just like
tell you what's happening.
It was the coolest thing.
So I'm very into that. The sort of, I'm not going to share anything with you, and we both know that, coaches interview or like in-game managers interview, those things are awful. And I now think they detract from the broadcast because it's now this sort of pro forma thing that we have to go through, and everyone knows it's not going to give us anything, where it's like, yep, just got to defend, got to play harder. Or the coach interview is a run off the field, got to do better, got to get after it, we'll try to tackle. Just so worthless.
But in that sequence there, he ended up giving a really good answer where he's talking about like, yeah, that guy's on his first contract. He's a rookie. He's saying he's not going to play for the team. I think there are players who do bad interviews, but that happens not during the game.
Yeah, but
too.
That stuff's awesome. Like I think it was Miguel Rojas, maybe I'm getting the name wrong, years ago, playing for the Dodgers, moves to his left to field a not that routine play, and he goes, hold on one second, guys, mid-answer. Fields the ball, throws it to first, throwing around. It's like, yeah, we got two. And they, what were you guys saying? And it was incredible content. Or like Freddie Freeman mic'd up, yelling at, or Anthony Rizzo mic'd up, yelling at, trying to get Freddie Freeman in a rundown.
Right.
Yelling at Frederick as he's like chasing him with the ball to tag him out. Yes to that content.
So
yes.
Good. This was the All-Star Game pitcher thing I was talking about.
As we go to the bottom of the second inning, Alec Manoah takes the mound for the AL, and he does so wearing an earpiece and a microphone. Alec, how you doing?
I'm good. Here we go.
So you've got Contreras, Peterson, and McNeil here.
That's it.
I guess just a couple inches outside.
He's questioning if it was a strike.
1-1. Hey, you're a guy that, I mean, all you guys love playing baseball.
So he goes on to do this interview while he's pitching, and he's like interacting with him, and he starts calling his pitches, and he really got into it. That, now, it's an all-star game, so the results don't matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's amazing.
That's great.
I just think that's so cool.
Me too.
And the more of that as a sports fan, the better. But I get when a guy commits an error. Now, you're also not doing it in the ninth inning. And you got to pick your spots a little bit.
You could do a top three.
But you could lose a game in the third inning on an error too.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.